Today on the Wisdom Journey, we come to Job 32 through 37. Job's friend, Elihu, didn't have all the answers, but he did know one thing. He knew that when we're suffering and see no end to it or purpose for it, we need to recall the basic, comforting truth that God uses suffering to teach us. Our responsibility is to listen and serve Him. Let's learn more about this today. Stephen's lesson is called The Learning Curve of Life.
A learning curve is a popular expression, and it relates to certain times in life when some changes or challenges happen, you know, so quickly that you need to learn or adapt in a very short amount of time. You've got this learning curve. I can remember my roommate in college encouraging me to take golf lessons, and he explained to me how difficult it was, you know, to hit a golf ball. And I said, well, it can't be that hard. He said, well, let me show you. Well, at that point, I should have walked away. Instead, I went with him to the front yard of our dormitory, and he had a golf club, and he gave me a few instructions. Then he placed a large, ripe orange on the ground, and he said, okay, Stephen, hit it. Well, I smiled and swung, and I missed. Well, he said, now you need to keep your head down and your arms straight, which didn't make any sense to me, but I did and swung even harder, and that orange just sat there mocking me. After several more tries, I finally hit it, but only because in frustration I was swinging down like an axe and not like a golf club. That orange never left the ground. Well, on that day, I learned that golf would require a learning curve. How about the learning curve for driving a car? I don't know about you, but I learned with a stick shift. It was a Volkswagen Bug. It was baby blue. And when I was 15 years old, my parents let me practice out in front of our house. Now, with a stick shift, you got to remember several things at the same time. It's kind of like playing golf. You got to let the clutch out slowly until it engages, and you got to be careful not to pop the clutch too quickly and stall, and all the while you got to push down the gas pedal. Well, it wasn't long before I figured it out, and I was zipping back and forth in front of our house. Nobody got hurt. The neighbors stayed indoors. How about the learning curve for marriage? You know, you had two sessions of premarital counseling and you finished a notebook and you probably wondered, how hard can this be? Well, you had no idea the learning curve for marriage doesn't actually start until after the wedding. Someone said that marriage is like getting on a plane, heading for the Bahamas, and landing instead at the North Pole. Instead of a breeze, it's a blizzard. And you find out then you needed a fur coat, not a swimsuit. Well, let the learning curves in life begin. The truth is, you never know when the learning curve is coming, and you're never really fully prepared when it does. The psalmist David wrote, "It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes," Psalm 119, verse 71. In other words, suffering put him on a steep learning curve that ultimately taught him wise and godly principles for living. It can do the same thing for you and for me. Now, Job here has been on a learning curve for as long as a year or more, with their speeches and their dialogue now completed. Job and his three friends just sort of fall silent here at the end of chapter 31. Then you got this young man stepping forward here in chapter 32, and he's going to speak for the next six chapters. He's going to deliver some fairly decent counsel to Job. His name is Elihu. He's been struggling, evidently, for some time to remain quiet. We're told why here in verses 2 and 3. He burned with anger at Job because he justified himself rather than God. He burned with anger also at Job's three friends because they had found no answer, although they had declared Job to be in the wrong. So he's been growing angry with what he considers Job's self-righteous attitude. He's also growing angry at this empty, this false accusation of Job's life by his three friends. So now Elihu, you know, he kind of launches into his own speech. He begins in chapter 33 to bring out some new insights that are, frankly, for the most part, right on target. First, he says to Job that even when life is confusing, God is still communicating. Now, he's recalling Job's earlier words. Elihu asks him here in verse 13, "Why do you contend against God, saying, 'He will answer none of man's words'?" Elihu says, God is speaking. He is communicating. Now, at this time, before the Bible is available, God speaks to Abraham. He speaks to Joseph, to Jacob, to Job through dreams. More important, though, God is speaking to Job through his suffering. Elihu says here in verse 19, man is also rebuked with pain on his bed. The word for rebuked here can be translated instructed. Maybe you found this to be true, that sick beds have a unique way of instructing us. We're really tuned in, so to speak, to the Spirit of God whenever we suffer. Now, here in chapter 34, Elihu gives this second insight. We'll put it this way. Even when life seems unfair, God is never unjust. You see, Job had complained earlier that delighting in God didn't bring any benefit, evidently. And Elihu says here in verse 10, far be it from God that he should do wrong. And then Elihu goes on here to defend the nature and character of God. He emphasizes that God is the rewarder, verse 11. He emphasizes that God is the sovereign authority, verse 13, that God is the sustainer of life, verses 14 and 15, and that God is an impartial ruler, verses 17 to 20. When you think life is unfair, a good counselor is going to remind you that God always does what's right, even when he doesn't provide any explanation. Elihu's third point now is here in Job chapter 35. And let me put it this way. Even when life seems hard, God is not heartless. Elihu encourages Job here in verse 10 by reminding him that God, his maker, can even give him songs in the night. Love that expression, songs in the night. Now, fourth, Elihu delivers this insight. We'll put it this way. Even when life becomes unsettled, God has not been unseated. Here in chapters 36 and 37, he defends God's character. He says here in verse 2 of chapter 36, bear with me a little while, and I will show you, for I have yet something to say on God's behalf. Elihu is warning Job not to charge God with wrongdoing. God is powerful, Elihu says. Nobody can fully understand his ways. He's mysterious. Elihu presents as evidence the way God manages nature. Beginning here in verse 27 and continuing all the way through chapter 37, Elihu points to the majesty of God in nature. Elihu mentions the rain. He mentions the clouds. He mentions thunder and lightning, snow and ice. And then he says to Job here in chapter 37 and verse 14, Job, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. As if to say, if God is in control of that lightning storm, Job, and he is, then he's in control of the storm that swept into your life. Now, Job's other friends were convinced. You remember that Job was suffering because he was a great sinner. Elihu recognizes that God uses suffering to keep us from sin. It keeps us close to him. So Elihu is really a lot closer to the truth than these other three men, but still he's only partially correct, and that's because we know as readers what Elihu doesn't know. We know what Job and his three friends, in fact, don't know. We happen to know that Job's suffering is unique, and it's coming from the hand of Satan, who wants to prove that God is not going to be worshiped by some follower who ends up suffering so greatly. See, there's something bigger going on than any of these men could have ever imagined. But listen, beloved, these insights from Elihu are actually true for us all, for the rest of the Bible confirms these principles. First, God may appear to be silent, but he's always speaking. He speaks to us through his word, through our circumstances, through his evident power that we see in nature around us. The problem is we're hard of hearing, but he is speaking. Secondly, life might seem unfair, but God is never unjust. In fact, we're told in the Bible that God eventually will make everything right. And then third, the principle is this: life might be difficult, but God has not abandoned us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And finally, one more principle. When life becomes chaotic, God is actually in control of the chaos. Life might become unsettled. God will never be unseated. He's already, by the way, he's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let's trust him today. And today, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson called The Learning Curve of Life. He's teaching through the Bible, all 66 books, and will continue in the book of Job over the next few broadcasts. Today, we have a gift for you. Abortion is one of the greatest tragedies of our day and age. What's God's view of life in the womb? Stephen's resource on this topic, Designer Made, is free today. Visit wisdomonline.org/designer. Request your copy right now, then join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.